Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit CANeighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello. Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit CANeighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.
Hello and welcome to an emergency episode of Islanders Anxiety. Joining me on this Monday evening via Zencaster is my friend Michael Eboff. And Mike, what you and I and Islanders fans across the globe witnessed tonight is simply one of the most embarrassing playoff games in this franchise's history. Up 3-0 in the second period, the Islanders stopped playing, let the Hurricanes back in, and ultimately, the final score was 5-3 Carolina. Just an absolutely brutal, embarrassing, just mind-bogglingly awful result. They are now down 2-0 in the series, but that's almost secondary to the feelings of anger and frustration and helplessness that we're all feeling right now. What are you feeling right now? The gamut of emotions that you've run through. I mean, the game has been over now for what, 15, 20 minutes. And I'm sure you and all of us have experienced a lot. So where are you at right now?
Yeah, this is one that will stick with everybody for forever. And the worst part of it is that, you know, you're in a familiar place, right?
Like, right.
We've all been here before. We've watched this team do this hundreds of times in our lifetimes and hundreds of times seemingly this season. But it doesn't get any easier. And the worst part is, like, now you feel a little duped that, you know, this team was, this was behind them. But yeah, I mean, that sports fandom is all about moments and like the journey. And there'll be ones that you just never forget. And this, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have a photographic memory of this night for the rest of my life. And I will be haunted by Shannon Hogan's voice right after the game ended going, "Well, Thomas, we're not going to sugarcoat this one." And I just will never forget. It's still ringing in my ears.
I give you credit for even watching that far, because as soon as
I just couldn't move after the game. Like, I was I was sitting amongst Isla's toys. So, like, I mean, if you had taken a still shot of me, you would just be like, I think this person's in a you know, in an institution, because there's like a unicorn next, an inflatable unicorn next to him. He's in a, you know, I was in it wearing like a, my terry cloth Tony Soprano's jacket because they scored as soon as I put it on. My washing machine broke as Bo Horvat scored, and there was just smoke all over my house. I mean, it was it was a disastrous night. Yeah, not feeling too good. Yeah, there is no sugarcoating going on. I'm pretty mad at the New York Islanders.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way to put it. And again, we have coined many, many phrases this year, probably none more popular than playing like assholes. And boy, did they put on a clinic on how to play like assholes. And playing like assholes, in this case, meant getting three goals on 12 shots against a historically shaky playoff goaltender, and then just stopping. Freddie Anderson finished this game with 9 saves on 12 shots. Think about that. 9 saves on 12 shots in a playoff game. And he won. He won the game. 5-3. 5-3. The Hurricanes won.
They didn't, when they pulled the goalie, I was like, why are they even pulling him?
Right.
Right? Like, the Islanders had one shot on goal for the last 30 minutes.
Right.
Why would you even pull him at that point?
It was a matter of time. And I think that's what you're getting at. Like, we've seen this script before. Yeah. I mean, the Hurricanes had 110 attempts to the Islanders 30-something. What difference does it make? Like, the Islanders stopped playing the game. They literally stopped. And they how many two-minute shifts did they have in their own zone for the second half of the game?
Like, the icings.
Yeah.
That was the they were like, I have no problem with them trying to, you know, ice the puck, just take the sting out of the game every now, especially against a team like this. But the amount of icings with no pressure were killer. What was Adam Pellick doing? And the game tying goal, he dropped his stick. Yeah. And then he's just like, oh, I got to go get that stick. Like, it was as if he thought, no, they're going to wait for me, right? They'll be polite while I go scoot over and pick up the stick and leave my man wide open on the doorstep here in a playoff game that's we're up one by a miracle, like a miracle.
Right. This team plays every game as if it's the preseason, every single one. And that was him dropping his stick. They broke 4 sticks at one point. At one point, they had 2 consecutive penalty kills where somebody broke a stick and they managed to get out of both of them, I think. They did give up one power play goal, but I think it was on a different one. But, like, this team plays every game as if it's the preseason. They just simply don't care. And I as soon as that empty net goal was scored, I turned the game off. And I know there was some shenanigans at the end.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Whatever. It's embarrassing. I don't care. Like, they can be as mad as they want. They're not going to be as mad as we are at them right now. Because you guys, and listen, this is, we literally recorded an episode yesterday praising their performance in game one and saying they played a good game. They fell the victim of bounces. It happens a lot when they play the Hurricanes. Play that way again and you'll get a better result, hopefully. They did not play that. They did not play. Even with the 3-0 lead, they weren't playing particularly well. I mean, they counterattacked and that was good. You know, the first period was the most even, but it wasn't really even. But to not recognize that you're up, and if you just sit back and get sloppy and stupid for the next 30 minutes, you're going to cough up the lead, is mind-boggling. I know I use that word a lot, but it really is unbelievable that these professional athletes cannot be bothered to even try to prevent the other team from scoring goals. The one guy who I thought played a good game, Semyon Varlamov, was good until he wasn't. And I get the people are calling for Ilya Sorokin in game 3. Sure, why not? The one guy who played well in this game once again was Kyle MacLean, the fourth line set. He's the only guy I thought had a pretty darn good game. That's it. Everybody else, no. Like, I just don't even know. I'm so angry right now. I don't even know where to even start. I really don't. It's unbelievable.
It's a good point, right? Like, Kyle MacLean, when Kyle MacLean is the one dragging you into
right to
a fight, like he almost, I don't want, it sounds, it's hyperbolic to say, but like he almost won that game for the Islanders on his own.
Right. He was the only one in the third period trying to score a goal.
Yeah. He was the only one who and he got double shifted. And,
right. Yeah. He was with Barzal and Horvat at one point.
It's yeah. I think like if you are a New York Islander and you're going home tonight, like what are you even thinking? I wouldn't even be, I'd be so, like you said, embarrassed is the right word. Hmm. You've got Patrick Waugh as your coach. It's been this whole thing about staying even keeled and not like taking your foot off the pedal. And it's fine if you're like just being outplayed, because the Islanders were like, they were outplayed. That's fine. But when you're outplayed like that, it's a completely, we're in a different universe. It's Kyle MacLean should, like the Hurricanes should have taken him.
Right.
After the game. And like, you come with us. Like you don't deserve to go back to that, to that locker room.
To play like that at this time is unforgivable. Like,
yeah. To play like that at this time is unforgivable for every team.
Right.
To play like that at this time is unforgivable if you're the team that somehow made the playoffs despite playing like that 20 times this season.
Right.
How, like, what on earth was going on? I mean, I credit Robert Bortuzzo for laying it out there. Like, he was swimming out there at the end. Romanov, I thought, was fine. Like, they it wasn't even an effort thing, almost. It was just like a cowardice, you know? It was bizarre. It was as if they thought there were like 30 seconds left.
Yeah.
For the last 28 minutes of that game. and you had the you know what you said, like the MacLean, like I thought even like Clutterbuck, and once again Clutterbuck and Martin were fine, as I thought too.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, Martin was okay too. Yeah.
Yeah, like, but when they're just doing their job, the other guys is what's the issue here. The D was terrible. I mean, Noah Dobson clearly isn't 100%.
Yeah.
Or he's got his phone back. He's really excited maybe about like the Instagram posts of the Isles wives and girlfriends jackets or something. I don't know. He was pretty terrible. God, man, it was just so bad. And
yeah,
it feels like they were up 3-0 6 hours ago.
Yeah.
That's how long that game took. And, I think it took everything from Butchie. He might have been stapled or like handcuffed to his seat up there to not go down there and just scream at all those guys. He was as mad as we are.
Part of me thinks Butch is a listener, because he and I are exactly the same. Like, he's yelling, you got to do something. You got to stand him up. You got to do. I'm saying the same thing. And in fact, it was so funny on Monday's game. I didn't even mention this. Every time I said something, Butch would say the same thing. And my daughter and wife were watching at the time. We'd be like, hey, wait a minute. I'm like, yeah, I know. Butch and I are aligned here. Like, there are two more games in this series. And when I say that tonight was unforgivable, I understand that, you know, if they win on Thursday night and maybe even win on Saturday, you never know, the series is even and it's all different and everything. But there is, I can't even almost imagine what it's like to think that that's even almost possible right now. Like, how is that even possible? These guys are sloppy. They're slow. They're disorganized. I mean, you might not think it's an effort thing, but it sure as hell looked like one to me. Like, they don't have an answer for how to get into the zone tonight. They had one on game one. They had an answer. They were doing it. They were spending time in the Hurricane zone. They were taking it to them. And tonight they just decided to not do that again. I just, you know, and even if they did do that, and this was the whole problem we talked about after game one, even if they did do that, there's no guarantee they win that game because, you know, they're going to some bounce off of somebody's skull and it goes in and, you know, the Hurricanes win. Like, and this whole, the whole game was going exactly, you know, I've seen the tide turn in terms of like, you know, people's now people have caught on to the Hurricanes fans complaining about about calls. Today, Jake Guentzel, we have to mention this play. Jake Guentzel's stick gets caught under Varlamov's mask, literally yanks the helmet off of Varlamov's head, and Canes fans are booing Varlamov putting the helmet back on. Like, no, he's allowed to wear a mask. He's, in fact, he's supposed to wear it. It's in the rules. Like, what are we booing? What are you? Did you want his mask to get an interference penalty because Jake Guentzel's stick got caught up and into it? Like, what are you talking about? It's unreal. And there are still two more games of this nonsense that we have to watch. Yeah. And if Thursday is anything even almost like this, I'm not even going to watch on set. I don't even care.
Oh, yeah.
If, I don't care. You can call me whatever you want. I don't care.
The kicker here is, like, I'm going to the game on Thursday. I don't think I've ever been less excited to go to a game, maybe, let alone a playoff game in my life. Maybe we'll just boo them coming out. You know, the crowd's supposed to be rocking the first playoff home game. Boo.
Right.
Here come the New York Islanders. Boo.
Yeah.
The penalties early on too. That's the funny thing here. Yeah. Is like, there was a point where I'm like, well, the Islanders are up 3-0, and it feels like the refs are really trying to push the Hurricanes back into this game.
Right.
And it did feel that way. Like, I thought the Barzal trip on Svechnikov was like, come on. And
yeah, that was a little silly.
There was a Pelech one that early in the game. I'm like, if you're gonna call that, you're gonna be calling a lot. But then the Islanders, of course, weren't gonna get any whistles because they never had the puck. So it wasn't right. It wasn't even that like that at all. And then the Varlamov, you know, that penalty went, look, I get it. You're trying to, like, send a message that this guy's just been camped in front of your net all night. And you got Patrick Waugh behind your bench, so I'm sure he probably thought it was funny at the time, but it's clear where the ice is being tilted here. You just killed off a couple penalties. That's when the Islanders had looked like, wow, they might gut this thing out. Here's the tragedy of the whole thing. For 30-something minutes, this looked like it was on track to being a gutsy, feel-good, proud win. Like, one that you're going to feel really, really proud of as an Islander fan. Get home 1-1 and be like, wow, that's the team that, you know, I like to root for. You can never count this team out, etc. All those great cliches. And that was just ripped from us by the guys we're rooting for. You know, it looked like there was going to be an against the odds, against the refs, against the bounces kind of win. And it weirdly changed on that penalty by Varlamov. But still, you get to the third period up 3-1. You kill another couple penalties, I think, earlier on in the third.
Yeah. The Hurricanes kill was actually okay.
It was good.
Yeah.
And the Hurricanes, the first 10 minutes of the third period were actually not bad. They weren't.
Right.
In relative to the rest of the game, they weren't bad. But the Islanders get through the first 10 minutes of the third period, still up 3-1. Yeah. You're like, okay, you got to the you got halfway over. Like, we're in a great position here. Just need to keep it in front of us. And they couldn't do that. It was a kind of like a weak dump in. Engvall Lee couldn't really do anything with a puck. Then Bortuzzo gave too much space on the entry. And, you know, it's a great shot by Jarvis that I think clipped off of Bortuzzo's skate. And it looked like if you went down after that goal went in, if you went down the line, if you lined up every single person that was watching that game and participating in that game, coaching in that game, you said, who's going to win this game? Despite the fact that the Hurricanes were losing 3-2 with 9 minutes left, I think each and every one of them would say Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Including me, including you. And it was, it was just so inevitable. And when you're sitting there and you're watching it, knowing that in the back of your mind, and you know that future you, like, you could already see future you. I could see future me going to bed sad, waking up tomorrow and being like, why am I already in a bad mood? Oh yeah, that's right, the Islanders lost the most embarrassing game you'll ever lose in a playoffs. That's why I'm already mad at everybody in the world. You know, like, you're watching, you already see yourself doing it. It's an out of body experience almost, and one that we're the only fan base dealing with tonight. So it's pretty lonely here. Oh, and of course there's the kicker, right? Like, hey, everybody, get ready to root for these guys in a week. You know, like we're just gonna have to turn this ship around and be like the biggest Canes fans ever when they play the freaking Rangers. So hope you weren't getting too mad at Jake Guentzel and whoever else at the end of the game when they were shoving with Palmieri and Nelson, because you're gonna be rooting for those guys.
I mean, I was mad at the Hurricanes through most of the game. And then as the tide turned and, like, as you said, it became inevitable that the Islanders were going to lose the game, I became more mad at the Islanders. And right now I'm 100 times more mad at the Islanders than I am at the Hurricanes.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Like, some quotes are coming out from the postgame stuff. Anders Lee said, that one fucking hurts. Direct quote from Anders Lee. Yeah, I bet it does. I mean, you were there. You could have done something about it. Like, why didn't anybody do something about it? Why didn't anybody stop it while it was happening? Why not spend some time in the Hurricane zone? Why not get a shot on net? They had two shots on net for half a game. That's not how it's going to work. I don't know how these guys come back from this. And again, I say that knowing full well that they have two games left to play. Right. So, it
feels impossible. Like,
it feels impossible.
It,
yeah.
Yeah. It would have been impossible down to the Hurricanes are Stanley Cup favorite. They're really good. They played a lights out game tonight. Man, one of the most dominant performances you'll see. So going down 2-0 to that team is already, you know, huge hill to climb. And then you throw in the fact that they lost this game in this fashion. And I'd be like, if I was an Islander, I'd just be like, I don't want to go to work. On Thursday, you know, I'm going to call in sick because, can you imagine going back out there? I mean, I know these guys are professional athletes and their lives have been completely different from us, but boy, it'd be like going to a work happy hour and getting absolutely blinding drunk.
Yeah. And then going to work on Monday.
So stupid. Right. Yeah. Like so stupid. Right. Like being an asshole.
Yeah.
Saying a bunch of stupid shit to people.
You piss in the fountain out front of the restaurant or something like that. Yeah.
Everyone sees you naked or something.
Right.
You know, while you're doing it. Like there's nothing. There's nothing left to hide. Hmm. And then on Monday, you got to go back to work with all these people. Cause that's what it feels like here. Yeah. And the problem is, like, when you're a fan, that extends to you and you have nothing, you can't do anything about it. So it's almost like we're the friend. We're like, oh yeah, I'm good friends with Islanders over here. Like he's really cool. And then he acts like that. And you're like, God damn it. I'm the one who brought him to this bar. And now I got to go to that meeting on Monday too. It's going to be it's almost more embarrassing here. Cause we're choosing. Like they don't have a choice. They just are the New York Islanders. We're the ones who are rooting for them and have made them a part of our lives on purpose. it's almost worse for us and more embarrassing for us when you know that the heat that's coming your way is just going to be totally deserved. And
here's the real problem for the Islanders. Like that analogy is 100% correct. But the thing is, when they come out on the UBS Arena ice on Thursday, the first errant pass or first unforced icing that they get, they're going to hear boos. The people are going to start booing. Come on, what are we doing? What are we doing? Why are we doing this? How are we doing this? Why don't we get a shot? Why don't we try, you know, why don't we push the play a little bit? And they're going to be earned. And if they're going to get rattled by their own home fans in a playoff game when they're down 2-0, good. Like, we have put up with all this garbage all season long. And again, we talked about what we talked about in the last episode. What we talked about in the episode before, and the point that you made that I thought was very, very sharp, was that all that crap that we went through in the regular season was over now. It's done. We don't have to worry about the Sharks loss or the Devils loss or the Stadium Series loss or whatever loss has been
bought. Good calling that one, Mike.
Yeah. No, but you were right. Like, we can put all that stuff away. Well, guess what? Now we've got two more incredibly frustrating losses to hang on to. This is game one, which again, they played well, just a couple of bounces went the wrong way. And now this, and I just, you know,
How about that? That's, you know, it's a brilliant point, right? Like it's taken them two games
to give us more. Yeah. Two more
to just to completely, to throw us right back over the ship. good God. Yeah. Like, you'd think it would be like, they got to game six and then shit the bed like they did last year, or the game seven in Washington a couple of years ago. And
If they get to game seven now, that's a miracle. Like,
no, I mean, I think if the Islanders are playing past game five in this series, because maybe they get a lucky win down 3-0. Let me even rephrase that. If they win on Thursday, I think that would be the most surprised I've ever been at a sporting event in my life at a result from a sporting event. Because we've all seen crazy stuff in our lives. We've seen huge upsets, and when you consider everything that just went on, I cannot picture it. And I'm assuming Sorokin's going to play. So good luck to Ilya as he deals with whatever 82 shot attempts from the Hurricanes. If hopefully, you know, that would be a good performance compared to this one. But I cannot imagine. I can't even picture what an Islander win would look like anymore in this series. And it sucks, man. This is the worst part about the playoffs, because the players are the ones who were supposed to stay even keeled, right? Like, as a fan, it's you're on the roller coaster. You're touching the highs and you're touching the lows. So you're supposed to stay. They're staying. You're supposed to stay even keeled. We're not. But Saturday at 4:57 p.m. Hope was eternal. Hope sprung eternal, and we're not even we're just about 50 something hours later, and I hate these guys so much.
Yeah.
So that's the playoffs, man. That's what we fought for, right? Like, that's the great run that the Islanders put together to get into the tournament. Like, this is where it led to, which is just a whole other thing entirely. So it's we always say on the show, like, we always warn about rebuilds and stuff, but maybe we should just rebuild eternally, because it's so much better than, I mean, at least you don't have to deal with this.
Right.
If you're just bad for years after year after year, sure, you think you want to be in the playoffs, but you really don't. You don't want to deal with this. When you're the Islanders, like, I mean, it's completely different for basically every other team. Like, they don't do stuff like this, but the Islanders do.
So it's approximately an hour and 50 minutes from Raleigh to JFK. Right, assuming they fly into JFK, I'm sure flying into LaGuardia is not all that different, or MacArthur or whatever it is. What do you think these guys say to each other in that almost 2 hours in the air, where they have nothing but time to think about what just happened? Like, I don't think they're going to say anything.
No,
I think they're just going to pat each other on the shoulder and be like, "Oh man, oh, that really stunk," and they're just going to do it again. They've done this now 84 times. This season, under two different coaches, with a bunch of different players and a bunch of different goalies and a bunch of different, you know, Scott Mayfield used to be here, and now he's hurt. Now we have Bortuzzo and Riley. Bortuzzo, by the way, he laid down so early before Jarvis took that shot that he could have taken a nap. You know, that's the Andrew McDonald special right there, where you lay down so early that the other guy has a chance to, like, kind of aim the puck over your body. Because you're already down, you know, for the count. Butch almost lost it at that too. But, like, I don't expect these guys to change a damn thing. Why would we expect them to change anything? They haven't done that. And listen, like, they did this in the Stadium Series game, and then somehow managed to, which we also called like an unforgivable loss or whatever, or something like along those lines. And then they managed to turn it around and make the playoffs. But they don't have a 20 game cushion left. They have two. They have to win a game on Thursday, and I don't think they're going to do it. I think, and in fact, here's what I'll even say. I think they'll play really well. I think they'll come out, they'll play really well, they'll maybe be tied in the third period, and then some stupid bounce will happen and the Hurricanes will walk out with a 3-0 lead in the series. I mean, is that the most, do you see that maybe the most obvious thing to happen?
Yeah, you know what it is too? It's we're back into that suspended animation, emotion part of being an Islander fan, where, like, would I even be happy if the Islanders score a goal on Thursday to go up 1-0?
No,
I'm not gonna be happy until the buzzer, the final horn rings, right? Like, and that's how I felt tonight. I was texting our friend Carrie Haber after the Islanders went up 3-0. I was like, it's 0-0.
Yeah,
like, this game is clearly 0-0 right now, because the way this thing is trending.
my wife is sitting next to me on the couch, and I said, you know, they're up 3-0, but that for a normal team, that would be great. But this is not a normal team.
Yeah.
And an hour later, the game was over and they lost.
Yeah. You almost just wanted to be like, can we just fast forward through the the meaningless kind of like shots off the post from the Hurricanes and stuff? Can we just let's just not even right. deal with that. Can you just show me the two goals that they're going to score to tie this thing up here? And yeah. we'll go from there. Yeah, I'm not even gonna be am I gonna be happy that they go up 1-0? No, I'll be happy if they win. Sure, you know, then I can start to get sucked back in a little bit again with the utmost caution, you know. And I tend to be an outright fibber when it comes to the Islanders, and you know, I give up on them, and then the next day I'm like, okay, I'm starting to believe again, whatever. And I'm saying this knowing I'm probably lying once to everybody once again, but if they somehow pull off the miracle and win on Thursday, I'm walking out of that building. I'm not going to be happy. I'm just going to be like, you know, sad. I'm going to be sad, yeah. which is what a place to be in as a fan. Oh, the Islanders won. How does that make you feel? You're an Islander fan. Pretty bummed, actually.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm right with you. Like, let's say they win. Let's say they win convincingly. You know, 4-1, let's just say it's a very, you know, they play really well. Maybe the Hurricanes don't have it or whatever they, you know, and they win a not going away, but like they win a comfortable game, or at least comfortable for the Islanders. That's not going to be a good feeling, because you never know what's going to happen on Saturday. Saturday's a matinee. It's even worse. And you just know that this torture has been extended for another game on Tuesday in Raleigh.
And Matt, like, imagine Patrick Watt too, like being like, you know, I took this job.
Yeah.
I really thought I could take this, you know, this is the team I think I could identify with and build on. Man, he's got to be broken now. He's be like, well, I'm sure that a lot of people are like, yeah, you don't want to get involved with this team. It's got nothing to do with the players. They're all nice guys. They're all godfathers to one another's kids. And you'll see them at the grocery store, and it's quaint. It's nice. Good. Got a lot of good pizza, good bagels, beaches there. Those are nice, but there's just something, nefarious in the air with this team. So, and it's not, like I said, it's just the team. It's the Islanders. It's not these specific players. It's just, there's something there that will always be there waiting to haunt you.
Yeah.
And he's learning that now. Because, you know, if you had a sit down conversation with Patrick Roy, and you're like, and he's like, hey, yeah, oh really, you weren't ecstatic that they were up 3-0 in that game, like that we were up 3-0, why weren't you happy? I'm like, well, now you know why, because nothing matters until it's in, those 2 points are in our pocket, or the win is in our pocket. And when you come to this island, right, that's just how it goes. So
I'm still withholding my opinion on why he got here. He got him to the playoffs. I mean, there's something to be said for that, but I mean, this is now under two coaches that we've seen this kind of stuff. And that means that either these players are uncoachable and they are locked into whatever they are, or Wah was immediately admitted into the country club, and he's just totally cool with all this too. And I don't want to think either one of those, but he hasn't really changed a whole lot about how they play. I mean, he did it first. Remember, they looked different. They were pushing play. They were doing things differently. And then that stopped. And then they did it again. And then that stopped. And now there's this. And again, Saturday's game, they look good. And now this. So I don't know. I don't know what else to do with these guys. A couple of quick shout outs to specific people right off the bat. I'm at Lighthouse Hockey right now, and God bless Dom for writing the recap of this, and longtime Lighthouse commenter Afro Supreme is using the Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were gif. And that's right. They are who they thought we were. That's what the Islanders are. They are who they thought we were. If you want to crown them, crown them. That's the late, great Dennis Green right there. Also shout out to the biggest loser on Twitter, Dom Lecision of The Athletic, who decided to search out our friend Rat Martin on Twitter just to troll him after the Islanders loss. That is very professional behavior by a journalist, not a fan, a journalist. So, enormous loser. I can't even begin to wrap my head around that. But I also want to shout out a person who who replied to me, Marco, who said, thank God the Jets draft is on Thursday, so I don't have to watch the Islanders again. That's what it's come to. People now want to watch the NFL draft to see who the Jets take instead of watching the Islanders. So, Marco, I don't blame you. I'm not making fun of you. I'm making fun of these guys. Like, I can never imagine choosing to watch the NFL draft over an Islanders playoff game. But this year, yeah, I could see that. Why wouldn't you? Sure. It's not going to be as painful. That's for sure.
It's crazy. They've ruined it. They've ruined the carnival. The playoffs are fun. They're supposed to be fun. Like going to playoff games. I love going. Love going early and whatever. And I'll be so disappointed in myself if I start getting my hopes up on Thursday before this game. I'd be so disappointed in myself. I would have let myself down if I'm not just going to that game because I've got tickets, right? Like,
But this is supposed to be the fun time. This is when you're supposed to want to go.
Exactly. I haven't missed a playoff game in years. And, a home one, really. And, I would much rather just not be going. But, it's really tough. Anders, I'm actually pretty happy that Lee was like, this is, I don't have the words for it because that's exactly how I feel. Like, they have no choice. Like, and we have no choice either. Like, we're going to be there on Thursday, watching this team. Unfortunately, and they're going to be there playing as this team. And I will say, Anders Lee has stopped cosplaying as Anders Lee and has started playing like Anders Lee lately.
True.
Which is actually making it even more sad. Like they're getting some solid efforts, it feels like, from guys that they didn't get solid seasons from.
His goal tonight was fantastic.
Yeah.
Classic Anders Lee. Right in front by himself, turn around, jam it home. Yep. Yeah.
And that look on his face afterwards, I was like, oh my God, that was awesome. But then they scored in the last minute of a period. Like they got some
Horvat could have had two in that. He had a breakaway too that he just barely missed. So,
it's it's pretty not good. The life has just been sucked out of the playoffs. It's so funny to see all these people being like, "Oh, the NHL playoffs just like ejected in my veins." No, get this stuff away from me, as far away from me as possible. Tomorrow is going to be a day where I'm going to try so hard just to avoid anything.
Yeah.
But
this game. Please do not inject this game. If you inject this game into my veins, I hope it's a lethal injection, and I'm just and you just put me out of my misery because I do not want this anymore. All right, I think we have exhausted ourselves. We're tired. We're angry. I'm gonna go eat some cookies. you can go. I don't know. Clean up Isla's toys or whatever. Maybe put your mind at ease. Get some other kind of activity going there, and we'll see what happens on Thursday. Any final thoughts before we close the book on this one?
I don't think so.
Me neither. I'm not even gonna do the whole ad read. You guys know it all. Patreon, Lighthouse Hockey, Vintage Ice Hockey, Pino Project. You know everything. Morning Haze, you guys have it all. We'll talk to you again on Sunday after game 4. Is it the final game of the Islanders season? Could be. One vote for yes.
Let's hope so.
It's possible. So. Yeah. I mean, you might be doing us all a favor, honestly. But maybe they even the series. And, we have a whole different tenor at that time. So we'll see. But for right now, certainly looks like we're halfway towards the golf course. Okay. We hope this has helped. Probably didn't, but whatever you're feeling, I promise you, we are feeling it too. So there you go. That's all. That's the best I can do for you. And we will talk to you in a few days. We're actually recording our mailbag episode for the Patreon tomorrow. So that'll be a lot of fun. If you haven't gotten your question in, do it now. Sign up for the Country Club tier and get a question in. We'll answer it tomorrow on the podcast. All right. Enjoy Game 3 and 4, if you can, and hopefully the Islanders will make us enjoy them. All right. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.